U.S. Chess Executive Board Open Session Number 2 for Sunday, November 11th, 2018, New Orleans, Louisiana. Mr. President?
Okay, we've had a fairly lengthy closed session discussion of personnel issues of the some parts of our executive director's report that relate to personnel. We've had some contract issues that we came up with, and we had some other committee matters that we tend to deal with in closed session. Historically, out of closed session, we have several motions that have been presented to be decided here in open session. So, Mr. Secretary, can you start with our motions coming out of closed session?
Can do. Alan Price moves that the Executive Board approves a one-time profit-sharing contribution to the U.S. Chess 401k plan for calendar year 2018 in the amount of 2% of compensation for all eligible employees.
For the record, this is not a match. This is a contribution that will apply to anyone eligible to participate in the 401k plan, whether they are currently contributing to it or not. This is what we have done for the last couple of years, and the purpose of it, because we put the plan in place so late with some of our more elderly team members. That probably wasn't a good way to say that. More experienced team members, that they may not have very many years to contribute to the plan. So some of them have elected not to do that, but we would like to get some benefit for them. All in favor of this, of the proposal, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Aye.
All the proposal passes 7-0. Can we move on to motion number 2?
Second one is Chuck Unruh moves that the Executive Board approve the revised Duane Barber U.S. Chess sponsorship agreement as it pertains to the three invitational events.
This proposal has some language that we have modified from what Duane had presented to us. Duane has graciously talked about presenting a scholarship fund for the winners of the junior closed, the girls junior closed, and the U.S. cadet. All these are three invitational events. Part of the provision is that U.S. Chess will make its best efforts to match that contribution, and that combined scholarship will be awarded to the winner of each of those events.
On tiebreak if necessary.
On tiebreak if necessary. Yeah, it's not a divisible prize. It's going to be going to the top one. The funding from Duane at this point is $5,000 for each event, and that's what he has proposed, and then that would cause that award, that prize, to be a $10,000 scholarship for the winner of each of those three events. All in favor of that proposal, say aye.
Aye. Point of order.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Randy.
This is a debatable motion, right? This is a debatable motion, right?
Yes.
Shouldn't we ask if there are any comments?
Sure. Are there any comments? Go ahead.
I'd like to make a comment. I'm going to vote against the motion. While I greatly appreciate the spirit in which it was intended by Mr. Barber, and while I would gladly accept his contribution for these worthy activities, I believe that for U.S. Chess dollars to be a match for it, it would be better served if we would use them to augment the prizes for second and third place in the same $5,000 amount. For that reason, I will be voting no.
And I think we want to make sure and reflect that in the record, that just as I have done for some previous motions that I was opposed to,
I just know that some people listen to the tapes, and I want to make sure that that's understood.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wanted to make sure you had the opportunity, so thank you for doing that, Randy, to make sure that we got that in. And I would like the record to reflect that as well, that some of the reasons behind Randy's change. So when we actually do the written minutes, if we could incorporate that statement, I would like for us to do that. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
The motion passes 6-1. I will take the responsibility, along with Mike Neatman, I think, to coordinate some of those things with Dwayne. We told Dwayne we would be dealing with this after he got back from the country and after we got back from the FIDE meeting. Dwayne has also been out of the country and he's back, so we can move this forward, see if we can get this. There's some incentive on his part to do it before the end of the year. And it may not happen that quickly. Next motion, Mr. Secretary.
Mike Neatman moves to accept the Women's Committee Report item number 4 dealing with updated rules for the 2019 NGTOC information and rules.
These largely reflect the prior year that are the administration of the National Girls Tournament of Champions. I don't think there are major changes in there. All in favor of the motion. Are there any comments? Is there any debate? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries 7-0. Next motion, Mr. Secretary.
Ryan Velez moves to remove Bruce Davis from the Accessibility and Special Circumstances Committee.
Are there any comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Motion carries 7-0. Next motion, Mr. Secretary.
Carol Meyer moves that the following committee charters be approved as amended. Accessibility and Special Circumstances. Barber, College Chess, Competition Integrity, Denker, International Affairs, Military, Outreach, PPHB, Scholastic Council / Committee, States and Affiliates, U.S. Chess Development, U.S. Open, Women's Chess.
Are there comments? I think the record should reflect that there were a couple of committee charters that had been submitted that we thought needed some more work, and we will be sending those back to those respective committees for some more work on them so that they can better reflect what the executive board sees as the mission of that committee and the consistency of that document with the strategic goals of the organization. We also have a number of other committees that have not prepared that document yet, and the individual committee liaisons will be working with those committees, see if we can't move that further on down the road and see if we can get those final ones in place so we can approve them in the January meeting. Is there any other discussion about the committee charters? All in favor of the motion to approve this list of charters as amended, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mr. Secretary, the next motion, please.
The Executive Board moves that the Prison Chess Committee be disbanded.
Is there any discussion? I would like to point out for the record, we did adopt a prison promotional group membership program earlier in the meeting that will be contacted, will be distributed to various affiliates. This is not a move to a reflection of any less importance to the mission of U.S. Chess of reaching out to incarcerated people and giving them the benefits of chess as a way for rehabilitation. However, I think it's a recognition that we don't have a viable committee in that area right now. We do not have a chair, and the functions of that committee of looking at outreach we're incorporating into other programs. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. I think we have another one motion, Mr. Secretary.
One more, yeah. Alan Priest moves the Executive Board adopt the revisions to the AUG proposed by the Executive Director. The effective date of the new AUG is November 11th, 2018. The revised AUG document is attached, and the Executive Director will see that the new AUG replaces the prior document on the U.S. Chess website forums.
So that makes it effective today. Many of the changes are simply editorial. However, for the record, what we are doing is removing from the acceptable usage guidelines for the forum the footnote which says that the standards may be relaxed during election seasons. Since we are in a situation where we have an election every single year, we are constantly in election season, and this is part of the desire to change the tone and the tenor of posting in the forums. So accompanying this change is an understanding that the executive director is going to be working with the moderators, and may well, users of the forums are likely to see a tightening of moderation standards, and that has the full support of the executive board. So part of the reason to change, another example for the significant change in the AUG, the beginning of the current standard says, you know, that it is the spirit to benefit chess, and the revised one says it will benefit chess. So it's not a big change, but the intention is to change some of the tone and tenor of posting to make it more supportive of what the organization is trying to accomplish. Are there other comments or questions or debate on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor of the change, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Change passes 7-0. Are there any other motions coming out of closed?
There are not.
Are there any other comments that we need to make about items in closed? There is one. We discussed changes to invitational list requirements. These would be mainly changes that would be effective for the 2020 invitational series. We don't at this point contemplate any substantive changes in those. A couple had been proposed perhaps, but in discussion we did not adopt any of those. There is, however, I think a need to get some of these different lists of invitational requirements a little more consistent, specifically with regards to the presentation of the requirements for the senior team and for the U16 Olympiad. These were the first years we really put those requirements in, so we had some learning curve and growing pains, and some things we just want to make sure we're a little more consistent between our different things. Things like residency requirements and definition of what matches mean, and some things like that, more so than anything that's a substantive change of what has already been out there from the Scholastic Counseling Committee for the U1600 Olympiad and from the Senior Committee on the Senior Team. So we will have those in place to adopt whatever those changes are for our January meeting is our goal. However, again, for our listeners, we do not anticipate substantive changes in those for the 2020 invitational year. We have to do them that far in advance to give players time to adjust their playing schedule if we change something very much. The last item on our open session agenda is to review the existing strategic directives and kind of help our new members understand what we're doing there, because one of our agenda items for January is going to be to spend time looking at this particular document. We will be reviewing the strategic plan. Strategic plans are useless if they're done once and stuck in a drawer and pulled out 8 years later and see what happened. They are living documents. They should be adjusted. And we've been, since we did the first one under Randy's direction during a prior term of service on the board, we have been actively revising these as we go. So Mike directed the last time we did this, and we have sent out to you all kind of some things that we did in the spring. We talked about it in January, and then as we move forward into May, we were still completing the project to help identify what we thought these goals did. Mike, can I? I'm putting you on the spot.
That's okay.
I turn you over? Turn this over to you to kind of summarize what we were doing here.
Yeah, we started out with the executive board last year, assuming that the work that had been done by previous executive boards was the foundation and was the baseline from which we would start our evaluation, you know, our assessment process. In other words, that we were not going to start from scratch and just throw everything out the window, babies out with the bathwater, and just start anew. So rather, recognizing the good work and the hard work that had been done by previous executive boards, we used that as the starting point. And as an example, when we went to the Orlando meeting, we went in with 10 strategic objectives, and when we came out, it some of those merged and modified and kind of amalgamated, and we came up with 9. And I think those are the 9 that you see on your, they're not enumerated, and they're not enumerated on purpose because we didn't want any numbers to give some perception to someone that number 1 was more important than number 8, et cetera. So they're just bulletized what those 8 objectives were. Then we knew in order to move forward, we had to prioritize in some manner what we thought those objectives were and how each of those objectives contributed to the overarching 5 goals, or rather strategic the overarching goals of the organization, which were grow the game, inform and engage the chess community, improve U.S. chess operations, expand our partnerships, and increase opportunities for underrepresented groups. So the way we did that was literally to create a matrix and to vote. So for example, under grow the game, assess each of the 9 strategic objectives as an executive board member and vote which ones you think have a strong contribution to the accomplishment of that goal, or no contribution to that goal, or a minimal or a minor contribution to that goal. So the executive board members voted, and as you look at the group of slides that I think you have, the one that is listed results of executive board member survey shows the results of that voting. That then allowed us to create, or let me make sure everyone doesn't have any question about that particular chart. Randy, do you have these?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what I call the rainbow chart. It's got all the colors on it, but you know, I don't know for sure because I didn't want to know, I guess, but if any quick analysis would see that there's not a single goal where all 7 members of the executive board voted. So either somebody didn't vote at all, number 1, or someone, or just for every goal, there was always someone who didn't vote for that one. Didn't think, I don't know how to assess it, or I'm not sure what it meant, or whatever. So by and large, there were either 5 votes that were calculated within a goal and an objective, or there were 6 votes that contributed to that goal objective. None of them had 7. And I don't know if, like I said, if one person didn't vote, or perhaps more likely, somebody didn't vote across all 6 of them. I mean, across all the objectives and goals. So after we tallied up the votes within each goal, it allowed us to say, as you look at the next chart, these are the ones with the interpreting what we've said, where you look across the top from most important to least important, and then going down, you have the goals. You could see how the objectives fell out within it. And as an example, for informing, engaging the chess community, the executive board as a whole felt that advancing research to understand the benefits of chess and offering programs that benefit the entire chess community were really the two most important objectives that would contribute to helping accomplish that goal, which then means that, okay, if we're going to really get some initiatives going in informing and engaging the chess community, those are the two areas where we probably ought to look at first to develop some specific initiatives that could contribute to achieving to help us achieve our goals. Does that make sense, Randy? Okay, so that's essentially where we are at this point in time, which is at the point where we've mapped objectives, mapped objectives to goals, and have prioritized objectives against goals, but are at the point now where we would rely, and this is what I said in my comments at the U.S. Open. In my remarks, I mentioned that this is where we're going to have to rely to a large extent on the committees to develop specific initiatives. Why it's important, and that's what makes it important to map our committees to these goals and objectives so that the committees understand where they can contribute. And that way they can start thinking about specific initiatives that the executive board can consider and prioritize in order to try to, you know, move things along. Alan?
So, when we get to the end of the day, what we're trying to do is to make sure, as Mike mentioned, that committees, programs that committees may suggest align with both the goals and the objectives of what we've determined is the strategic focus of the organization. Sometimes that may be very overt where we ask that question. Sometimes we will decide we don't really have to ask that question in an overt manner. For example, one reason we approved the prison promotional group, the promotional prison group membership program, is we could see how this fit into several different aspects of our goals. You know, certainly it is a program that benefits the entire chess community as an objective, and then we looked at it, does that meet the thing of growing the game? We think it probably does. Do we think that it increases opportunities for underrepresented folks? Yeah, we think it probably does. And it also gives our members, gives us an opportunity to establish partnerships with other groups, you know, which was in one of those. So when we're looking at programs, we're very much trying to align that. And one of the questions we have is, do these goals and objectives still make sense for where we're at today? And then those become the yardstick of how we hold up other programs. So someone comes and says, this is a great idea. Well, how does it fit these things? How does it work? So when we have, say, an idea of something, the Federation ought to do it, maybe the Federation ought not to do that. We ought to enable other groups to do that, you know, because it may fit other groups' mission, but we can be the enabler for that, to provide a playbook as to how you would have this program in your community. It may be something that it becomes a partnership issue as to how do we do that. So we might have a committee that wants to do something, and the best way for us to accomplish that is through a partnership. That may also lead to revenue opportunities. So when we get together in January, we're going to tear this apart a little bit and just make sure. We're not going to start over, just like Mike said from last year. We want to look and see how that works. And we're going to be looking at walking out of that meeting, trying to give our committee some more guidance based on their charters as to where this fits and maybe some things they need to adjust. That's my goal from that discussion. We are also going to be looking at our budget at that meeting and the proposed budget coming from the office. Our goal is to look at a two-year budget now and look at the two-year budget cycle. And how does the budget relate to these goals and objectives? And how are we spending money? Does it support that? Are we spending on money stuff that doesn't? If it doesn't support that, why are we doing it? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the questions we start asking, because this is the yardstick against which we measure what we're doing.
Mr. President, what I would recommend, perhaps we call it homework or preparation, is that the liaisons for each of the committees from within the executive board should be looking at the different strategic objectives, in other words, the 9 strategic objectives, and thinking about it from the perspective of, okay, the rules committee or the ratings committee or whatever committee it may be, where does that little committee provide where does it touch these objectives and those goals? For example, in rules, does rules contribute to improving U.S. chess business operations? Well, I would say probably minimally to that, whereas rules would definitely contribute to growing the game, because if you got rules people don't like, the game is not going to grow. But I think each of the liaisons should spend some time thinking about that, so that when we come to the meeting in January in Orlando, we've kind of thought that through already, and we don't have to spend, you know, a few hours or time that's valuable trying to rethink that and how that all fits. That's a suggestion.
No, I think that makes perfectly good sense, Mike. And yes, Carol.
I would also like to request that the board review our mission and vision statements. And I know the intent should not be to spend a lot of time on wordsmithing those. But I do think that we might need to do some work in that area, whether it's at this meeting or in a future strategic planning meeting, because I'm not sure one or both meet our needs.
I think that's fine. I think that if you have some specific thoughts about that, Carol, you would get us further down the pike if you would share those with us ahead of time.
Because in reality, what you, if we do craft, in particular, a new mission statement, or we make some specific revision to the mission statement, that could have a significant impact on the goals and objectives of the organization. That could mean this goal is gone, or this goal now has to be in there, or this objective is out, and we got to replace it.
I think the suggestions that I would have are perhaps even more consistent with the goals that we already have outlined.
Okay.
Seeing that it's 6 o'clock on Sunday, I don't really want to start delving into that right now. But I think you've given this some thought already, and you can get that out to us in email form, and we can maybe have some of that discussion before we get there. And we certainly can have some thoughts about it. Go ahead, Randy.
And Alan, can I make just 2 points? So as someone who's done a lot of this in organizations and with organizations, I think there are a couple of things that both Alan and Mike have touched on that we as a board should be thinking about as we're both preparing ourselves for the next meeting and as we're conducting that meeting. And one is, one of the biggest failings for strategic plans is to not think about them as something that you are going to be acting on actively in the days to come. That strategic plans are something that you do, and as Alan says, you put on a shelf. So we have to be thinking about our budget, for example, as something that has to be reflected, you know, in our strategic plan as well. We identify as the overarching goals for the organization and then those key objectives underneath it. So if we can't put those items to the test and find them within our strategic plan, then there's two things wrong. We either have the wrong budget or we have the wrong goals and objectives. So that would be the first thing that I think we should be mindful as we work through this. And the other is to bring it all the way down the organization. As has been suggested, within committees, they have to find themselves in the mission and in each of the goals and objectives. But it's also our staff and all of the things that we focus our time and attention on. one of the things that's usually strong about a strategic plan is that it sets up performance measures that can embody all of what makes the U.S. chess what it is. So our staff has to also be able to find themselves, and you know, it may be in those areas where we talk about improving and, you know, having financial processes and systems that are, you know, that are stellar. And that may be where a lot of the fun stuff, or it can be in growing the game, or it can be in this, that, and the other thing. But we have to be constantly thinking about that upon each of kind of what you think of the factors of an organization. One of the major factors of an organization is its employees. And another is its customers. And another is its processes. And another is usually its finances. So if we can't kind of think of those things in combination with what we're doing, then we're missing something somewhere. So I think that's our kind of goal as the leaders of the organization.
Hey, Randy, what I would add, because I'm right on, that tracks with my experience as a consultant on these things too. The one thing I would add is that a lot of organizations I've worked with, they really never, beyond the budget, they never really got into the how you implement your strategy. And as an example, in this executive board, for instance, should we have as points in our agenda, our standing agenda, discussions about, you know, the different strategic objectives or goals of the organization and what activities are being done. Instead of when every time we're talking about an activity, it's pegging it to a specific goal and an objective. Or what happens, just like what you and Alan said, it goes on the shelf and kind of gets forgotten about until it becomes important the next January.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think you've touched on something that I know I've talked about with Alan, I've talked about with Carol, that we as an executive board have to become more strategic and more focused in you know, the way we conduct ourselves and the way we make decisions. And a fair amount of that is even in our board meetings. So this is all stuff that I think is right for us to talk about in January.
Yeah, the problem that from my perception, that the executive board of this organization has had historically is that it's been focused the wrong place. The executive board, in my experience, has tended to focus a bit too much on really management. And the purpose of a board is not management. You hire management. The purpose of the board is policy and direction. Now, the reality of an organization of this size is that occasionally we may dip our toe into some management stuff. We may dip our toe into some stuff that's a little wonky because of the type of organization that we are. We bring a lot of chess knowledge to the game, for example, for the members of this board. So there's some chess stuff that we may get involved with, just like, you know, when the delegates get deep down involved in some esoteric rules discussion. But we got to be careful not to live there. And as we evolve the culture of the organization, one of the goals is to professionalize how the board operates. And one of that change has to be to get us out of the weeds, out of management issues, and let, you know, and if management doesn't do it right, then you change management. That's just how it ought to operate. If you can't get management to do what needs to be done management-wise, the board doesn't take over and doing it. You change management and get somebody who will. That's not a reflection of current management. That's not what I mean. I mean, it's just that's where the focus has to be rather than what is the board going to do to manage the organization. So I think we're sort of clear on the cultural shift. It is part of a cultural shift, you know, but I think we're getting there. We just got to keep pushing it. In January, if I could, gentlemen, Randy and Mike, you will be better at leading the discussion of the strategic plan part than I will be. You're more skilled in it, and that's the area where you work. I'd have the finance discussion all day long on the budget, and I'll probably be involved with that one a lot more. But I think we would be better served as a board if you guys plan to take more of the lead of that discussion, please. Because you're going to do a better job of it than me, and we need to use the talents that you guys are bringing to the table, okay?
Yeah.
So can y'all coordinate that and rope Carol into the discussion as well? And that day, I'm intending to just step back and be a contributor.
Three of us.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get a call together with the three of us.
That would be good. I'd appreciate that, and we'll use your talents better than mine in that area.
What I guess the most important thing, Alan, that at least I would ask, and Randy, I'd ask for your input, and Carol too, that I would ask you to think about as president of the organization is, what is the outcome that you're looking for the end of the meeting in January relative to this?
I can tell you that right now. What I would like for us to do as we review this, one, I'd like to see if we think we need to make changes to it.
Okay.
The mission, the vision, are these objectives still the valid objectives and the goals for the organization? That's one. Two, I would like for us to think about and come up with how we will incorporate that review and that measuring stick as we move forward. As you said, Mike, is this something we're going to do at every meeting? We're going to sit down and say, how we do that? How are we going to incorporate that into the normal way that we do business to hold this up as a standard? Third, I think we need to figure out how we drive this down into the committee work and how we as committee liaisons are going to charge our committees to do that. And then fourth, I would like for us to think about how our existing committee structure matches this.
Yeah.
You know, and so
we may have some holes or something.
Yeah, is there something we need to add? Or are there some people who need to be redirected? You know, or are there some committees, once we really look at this critically, are there some committees that are just totally mispurposed and need to be repurposed or eliminated because they simply don't support
our objectives? If our objectives are not 100% covered across our committees, and we definitely have a hole somewhere.
And so that's, I can tell you, those are my four goals. I don't have them written down anywhere, but that's the brain dump, and I think you just wrote them. So that's what I would like to see us accomplish. And then when we do the budget discussion, I want it to focus the same way, right? How is the budget, and how are what we're putting in the budget supporting this strategic plan? I want to do the strategic thing first.
Yeah.
That needs to be Friday. The budget needs to be Saturday, because if we change the strategery, then we got to change the budget piece to it. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, it's. Randy and Carol and I will, get together on a call as Randy suggested. But I would submit to you that I think we may need to have a pre-call as an executive board, especially where, and we'll figure out how, but especially where we see that there's a change in the mission or a change in the vision or a change perhaps in one or more of the goals or objectives, where there's some tweaking that's needed so that when we come to Orlando, we have a common frame of understanding. And we're not in Orlando trying to redo the goals and redo the objectives. Because as much of that as we can get done before we get to Orlando, the farther down the road to reaching those objectives that you mentioned are going to be, they'll be more attainable. Otherwise, we'll spend a half a day trying to figure out, are we providing members? Are we providing people? We'll be wordsmithing and doing all kind of crazy things.
We'll probably struggle, frankly, to find time to do a lot of that ahead of the meeting. I mean, yes, I agree with you. But looking at the fact that this is November, mid-November, we're going to have the Thanksgiving season.
Yeah, the only opportunity we're going to have is that first week of December, maybe the second week of December before the K-12 grades
We've got a major scholastic event. We got Christmas. We'll have the end of the year stuff. We may be able to have a call. We may not. We may be able to have everybody participate. It may not. Because of the other things going on in my life, I may be able to participate in some of that and may not, depending on some various items. So
why don't I send around a poll to find out when people might be available during the first couple weeks of December, and we'll try to get it scheduled right away.
And that will be fine.
At least it just sets the time aside.
I may not know.
I may not need it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because of personal issues happening for me, I may not be able to commit to things very easily. Yeah. That doesn't mean you need me.
Sundays are easiest for me at this point.
That does not mean you need me. You can go on without me. If it comes to that, I would rather y'all meet without me if I am unable to do it than for my availability to hold that up, candidly. So, because I trust what product you guys will produce. Okay?
Motion to adjourn.
There's one other thing. There are two other matters that I want to make sure are in the record before we adjourn. First, we are meeting today on a day of remembrance and honoring of folks who have dedicated some parts, in some cases significant parts of their lives, to service to our country. A number of those are our members. We have an active outreach program into folks who are in military service to the United States. I am grateful that I had an opportunity to do that in some small way. I thank our other executive board members who spent some or large portions of their lives in military service to our country, and to our members who have that. When I was an Army reservist, the word was you were twice the citizen. And I think that that is a very apt description of folks who've had an opportunity to put life and limb on the line to protect the uniqueness of this country. So for our members, we want to recognize that service. And I just wanted that to be part of the record. Second, while we have been meeting here, certainly we have had the opportunity to observe one of our members competing for the World Chess Championship, and the thoughts and support of U.S. Chess are certainly behind Fabiano Caruana. We're hoping that he will be successful in his quest for that championship. We had representation of U.S. Chess at the opening ceremony. You all have are sending me to the final round and to the closing ceremony if the event goes on that long. We'll be there for the end of it, and we have not had this since Fisher in 72, so I hope that this will be a springboard for chess in the United States. I also hope it does not turn into a one-off. The tragedy for U.S. chess of the Fisher situation is that it was not sustained. And I think one of the differences we have today is that our pipeline is bigger, it's fuller. We have just a whole different vibe about chess in the United States. And remember that the Fisher boom in U.S. chess at the time of the Fisher boom had about 5,000 members. Today we have about 100,000 members. So we are in a much better place as an organization. We are not going to see the same type of boom in membership as we saw then, simply because we're better off than we were then. And so, but I hope that we are able to translate that. And I want to thank our event staff and our publications and communications department and our executive director for their efforts leading up to this, to do things like the card programs that were done at the National Scholastic Events and at the U.S. Open to give our members and our players and our kids an opportunity to, in some small part, be a part of this effort. I think that was a cool thing that we did, and I think it met some of these strategic examples for something that didn't cost us much to do and was a fun thing to do. So for Fabi, best of luck to you, man, over the rest of the event. And it's up to us to seize what benefit this does to U.S. chess and see that it carries through for a longer term. it would be remiss for me to say that some of those opportunities would not be there without the help and support of our friends in St. Louis, at the Chess Club and Scholastic Center of St. Louis, and the Sinkfeld family, and also certainly the efforts of the Kasparov Chess Foundation and that team in supporting the development of our junior players. So with that statement on the record for our organization, I would entertain a motion to, no, I won't. I will announce that our next meeting will be held in January, on the second weekend in January, in Orlando, Florida, at the Rosen Center Hotel, which is going to be the location of the U.S. Open event in August of next year. So with that, now I will entertain a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
So moved.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
We will see you. No, he voted. Randy voted in favor. 7-0. The meeting is adjourned. We'll see you in Orlando shortly.
So it's we get there on the